Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith,
that no man should be moved by these afflictions. For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and ye know. For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you, and our labor be in vain. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith, and your charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, as we also to see you. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. For now we live, if ye stand fast in the Lord. For what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Now God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way unto you, and the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another, and toward all men, even as we do toward you, to the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. We need to remember that the Apostle Paul's talking to a New Testament Baptist church here, talking to a bunch of church members, and reminding them of a few things here we want to notice. The Apostle Paul loved the Lord. He loved the Lord's church. He loved the Lord's people. He was very much concerned for them. After they were saved by the grace of God, the Apostle Paul did not say, go join the church of your choice. He didn't say that. He was very concerned that they be established in the faith, that they be strengthened. Whenever he would start a mission and establish that mission, he would go back and to see how that mission was doing. And that's what he was doing here also with the church at Thessalonica. He was very much concerned about the Lord's church and that the people would be established. And I believe that's very important, that we be established in the faith, in the faith, that one system of teaching and that the Lord put in his church. He was very much concerned that we be established. And so it's very important that we preach doctrine, that we listen to it, that we listen to the preaching of the Word of God, that we receive the doctrine and take heed to it. So he says here in verse 1, wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone, and he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. And not only to establish you, but to comfort you concerning your faith. So we need to remember his love and his concern that he had for these people here in Thessalonica. He mentions that in the first chapter there concerning the love that he had, and, In our last lesson that we dealt with, he dealt with the love and compassion that he had for those people. Also keep in mind that he wanted to come unto them, but Satan hindered him. Satan hindered him. And so he couldn't come, so he sent Timothy. He was left at Athens alone. There was a lot of times that we read concerning the Apostle Paul's writings that he was alone. He was in prison a lot. He was alone there in prison. And so we see him here. He's alone. He's by himself again. And we also need to remember that Paul was not a superhuman being. He was a man just like we are. And he had feelings. He had times when he was lonely. He had times when he was discouraged. But Paul realized this young church here needed to be established in the faith. And so, you know, a pastor, he doesn't have a pastor. And sometimes I can feel as the way the Apostle Paul felt here. And sometimes you do feel like you're alone. Sometimes there is times of discouragement. But we all have that. Not only preachers, not only pastors. But we all have those times when we are lonely, and sometimes we're discouraged and so on. And this is the way Paul was, he was depending on those people, and those people were depending on him also. He had a lot of love for them. So Paul realized that this church needed to be established in the faith. In fact, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and notice verse 15. He says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. The more I love you, the less I be loved. And so we see that he was here alone, but at the same time, he was thinking about them. He was concerned about them. And then in verse 2, he says, and he sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So Timothy was, I believe, no doubt, the Apostle Paul's right-hand man. He was privileged to travel with him and a lot of missionary journeys and to help him in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I believe that the Apostle Paul and Timothy were very close. On several occasions, Paul sent him to visit churches which they had established and to take a letter to them and then return with news of how that they were doing. And so Paul didn't just preach the gospel to them and then they were saved by the grace of God and just let them go. He had a desire to see them established. Now that's a lot different than what you see on television today. And with these high power evangelists and all of these big worldly churches today, they don't care about whether the people are established. Is all they're thinking about is numbers and dollar signs. And that's what they're concerned about. They're not concerned about the people being established in the faith. And I believe when he's referring to the faith, he's not referring to our faith in Christ. He's referring to the faith. He's referring to that one system of teaching that the Lord put in his church. And so he was concerned that they be established. And that will establish you in the faith. And so we see on several occasions he sent Timothy to visit these churches and just to check in to see how they do. And it doesn't hurt us to do that. We have missions that's right around about us and that we're supporting. We have mission over in Hopkinsville. They have services on Thursday night, I believe. And we need to stop by there and just see how they're doing. See how they're doing. We need to be concerned. They're not out of the authority of our church, but they're one of the churches that we're supporting. And I went all over, my wife and I went all the way down to Peru, South America. And we were supporting those works there, and we went down there to see how they do. And we went up and down the Amazon River and the Inan River and back where the cannibals were and so on. We wasn't too far. We got back. I think I told you all about this. You're going to hear a lot about that trip to Peru. And we got back and we read an article in the Reader's Digest and they was talking about some cannibals, and that was just up from where we were at and preaching one night. And we got out there in the jungle and we were, I don't know, 4 or 5 hours away from civilization at least. That far, and it was raining and thundering and lightning, and the water started rising, and all of a sudden we heard some boys come running up there to where we were staying, and we'd already preached, and we was eating banana chips that they had cooked and so on, and they said the boat's downriver, and when they come up there talking in the Spanish language, I knew right away what they were saying, and they said the boat was downriver and broke loose, and so went along, and they sent a couple boys down to get it and so on. But I thought, oh no, we're going to be stuck here. And I was planning on coming home in a few days, and I couldn't wait till we got on that plane. But I said, oh no, we're going to be stuck here for about a week, you know, or more. But anyway, we got the boat. They got the boat back. But anyway, we went down there to see how they do, and we preached in. I don't know, probably 8-10 churches while we were there, probably more than that, but we preached in several of those churches, and so it was an encouragement to me, and I recommend that every pastor go to a foreign mission field. We came back from Peru, and the church there we were pastoring, in Faith Baptist Church in Wasayan, we increased our missionary giving from $400 to $800 a month. To foreign mission work. And we had a video, we took a video of it and showed it to them, and I said, you didn't send us down there for nothing. And I said, here it is. And so we started receiving a offering, missionary offering on Sunday night, on the third Sunday of each month. And that offering would run anywhere from $400 to $800 a month. To the work there in Peru where Brother Bergman is working, and we support Brother Bergman. But it does us good, and it does our church good, and it does you good to go and visit the missions whenever you can, even around here. And so we see here that in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, turn back here to 1 Corinthians chapter chapter 16. 1 Corinthians 16. And let's notice verse 10 and 11. Now if Timotheus come, see that he may be with you without fear. For he worketh the work of the Lord as I also do. Let no man therefore despise him, but conduct him forth in peace, that he may come unto me, for I look for him with the brethren. So the Apostle Paul would often send Timothy to see how these churches were doing. He would send him here to the church at Corinth to see how the church at Corinth was doing. Also in the church at Philippi. Turn over here to the book of Philippians. The book of Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And let us look at verse 19. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. When I know your state, when I know your how you're doing physically, and how that you're doing spiritually. And I think he's talking more here about the spiritual than the physical. But he says, when I know your state, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally or sincerely care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently, as soon as I shall see how it will go with me. And so we see that the Apostle Paul was very much concerned about the church at Thessalonica, the church at Corinth, and the church at Philippi here. And so we need to be concerned about the mission works that we support. We not only give them our money, but we also need to give them our prayerful support. We also need to be praying for them. We also need to be encouraging them. I believe that's more important. It's more important than just going to the mission board and reading the mission letter and so on. But we need to remember them in prayer. We need to be concerned about them. Paul was very much concerned about them. And it's not an easy job to teach people to observe all things whatsoever he had commanded. There in the Great Commission, that's one of the hardest things about the Great Commission, is teaching people to observe. And this is what the Apostle Paul was doing. Timothy was doing it. And we need to do the same thing. We need to be an encouragement to our missionaries, and we need to be an encouragement to those that are members of these missions. And a lot of times these missions are young converts, they're young people in the Lord, and they need that encouragement. They need that encouragement. And so I believe that Timothy was... I believe that he was a loving leader. I really do. In the book of Philippians, chapter 2, just turn over here with me in chapter 2 and verse 20. You're still there in the book of Philippians. He says, for I have no man like-minded who will naturally or sincerely care for your state. But of course, I believe that this rubbed off on Timothy. I believe Paul was a very loving leader. He loved the Lord's people. He was very much concerned for them. Paul was not a hireling shepherd who abandoned the sheep when there was danger. No way. He was concerned that they be established and comforted in the faith. In the Gospel of John, in the Gospel of John chapter 10, verse 12. Let us notice in John chapter 10, we'll read verse 11. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is a hireling and careth not for the sheep. Paul was not a hireling. Timothy was not a hireling. He was more concerned about them than to just tell them to join the church of their choice and so on. He wanted them to be established in the truth. He wanted them to be stable. He wanted them to be stable. And I looked up that word this afternoon, established. And that's what it meant. It meant to be stable. It meant to be firm. It meant to be fixed. It meant to be strengthened. So he wanted them to be stable. And he wanted them to be firm. He wanted them to know what they believed and why they believed what they believed. He was very much concerned about them. Timothy wanted to be a blessing to them. He wanted to be an encouragement to them. And regardless of who we are or what we're doing in the work of the Lord, sometimes we get discouraged and we need encouragement. Every one of us need that. We all need to be encouraged. Who is the last one that you've encouraged? Who's the last one that you've encouraged? Who's the last member that you've encouraged that you can recall right now in your own mind? This is what it was all about with Timothy and with the Apostle Paul. He wanted to be an encouragement to those people. And we need to be an encouragement to one another. I've been to the hospital several times since we've been here. Several have had surgeries. And I walk in the waiting room, and there sits Brother Fred. And that blessed my heart. That was an encouragement to me as a pastor that he was right there alongside of me. And that's the way I took it. I know he was there for those people. But I believe he was also there for me. And that was a blessing to me. That was an encouragement to me. And so we can be an encouragement. We can be a blessing to one another. We received a card this week. And my wife said, well, there's one of our Tonys. You know, a pastor, there's some in the church that is right there. There's times when we might get discouraged or whatever, and somebody will send a card or just a word of encouragement. And you've all experienced the very same thing. And we need to do that. This is what Paul was doing. This is what Timothy was doing. He was just simply being a blessing. He was being an encouragement to those people. And we need to be a blessing. And we need to be an encouragement to one another. And so, in verse 3 of our reading, he says that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. These afflictions that we have from time to time, they're appointed. They're appointments. Don't you think for a minute that the Lord doesn't know anything about them. He knows about every one of them. And we're appointed unto those. So we need to remember that the trials and the testings that comes to our lives as Christians are not accidents. They're not accidents. They're appointments. Boy, I'll tell you what, that'll help you to bear under those a whole lot better. When you realize that the Lord has sent those to you for a reason, He has sent them for a purpose. And in all things, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ concerning you. in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I believe it is, in verse 18. And sometimes we've got to do that. We don't need to get all uptight because we're suffering a little bit, because we've got some problems or whatever, testings or trials or afflictions or whatever, because the Lord has sent them. When my first wife died, she was 31 years old. I had quit my job of working for a Consumers Power electric and gas company and just built a new house and sold everything and quit my job, moved up and started pastoring a little Baptist church up in northern Michigan. Wasn't there but just a couple of years, and my wife was in a house fire and she was burned 35% of her body, and she went into a cardiac arrest and died. But there was the tendency there to want to question the Lord. And I went down to a conference right after that. Well, it was after I was married. Brenda and I were married. And you don't forget those things overnight. And I was sitting there, and Brother Clark was preaching there at the conference in Clarksville. And he mentioned that scripture where he said, "In all things, give thanks, for this is the will of Christ concerning you." I didn't understand that. But as all I did was bow my head and said, "Thank you, Lord." And sometimes in our trials and in our afflictions and things that come our way, we need to realize that they are not accidents. They're not accidents. God has allowed them to come into our life for a reason and for a purpose, and they're His appointments, and we need to realize that. Where would we be If we didn't go through those things? God has a purpose in allowing and permitting everything that comes into our life. And we need to thank God for them. And so we see here that we need to remember that the trials and the testings that comes in our lives as Christians are not accidents. They are appointments. They're appointments. In Philippians chapter 1, in verse 29, "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His name." Now notice that. "For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake." Now, the trials and the testings and the afflictions and so on that we have from time to time should not move us from the Lord. They should not move us. They should draw us closer to the Lord. They should not move us away from the Lord. Y'all understand what I'm saying? You know, a lot of times we like to have our little pity parties. Did y'all ever have them? You know, every once in a while I have those every once in a while. But we don't need to be moved away from serving the Lord. These things that God allows and permits to come into our life ought to draw us closer to Him. In 1 Peter 4:12. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 12. "Beloved, think it not strange," in verse 12, "concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." And so may the Lord help us to realize that we are going to have to suffer for His namesake. Now, also in verse, let's see, 1 Peter 2, 1 Peter 2, and notice here in verse 21, "For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in His steps." And so troubles are going to come. Troubles are going to come. Afflictions are going to come. But don't be surprised when they come. And I believe this is what some of these verses are teaching us. Satan cannot cause us to lose our salvation. But he can cause us to lose our lives. Waste our lives. He wants to discourage us that we no longer serve the Lord. He brings trouble into our lives. He brings troubles into our homes. He brings troubles into our churches to interfere with our serving the Lord. So don't be moved. Don't be moved. Stand fast. Now, in the fourth verse of 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 here, he says, "For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know." Now, you've heard this before. You've heard this preached before, what I'm preaching tonight. Paul had preached this to them before. But they needed to be reminded. They needed to be reminded. So the Apostle Paul knew that they were going to have trouble because Satan would cause them trouble. And they would have all kinds of problems and so on. But Paul had invested a part of his life there, and he did not want his labor to have been in vain. There in verse 5. "For this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain." We need to be aware. We need to be aware of the tempter. Be aware of the tempter. In 2 Corinthians, just turn back here for a moment, in 2 Timothy chapter 11. 2 Timothy chapter 11. And let us notice verse 13. It says, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves in the apostles of Christ." And so, as a serpent, he tries to deceive. He tries to deceive. He's out to ruin our faith. He's out to ruin our faith. He's out to cause us all kinds of problems. Of course, we know that behind all of these persecutions is Satan. He's the enemy of each one of us that are saved by the grace of God. He's out to ruin your faith. When Satan tempted Eve, he began by weakening her faith in the Lord. Isn't that right? As a serpent, Satan deceives. If what you believe in practice doesn't line up with the Word, you're deceived. You're deceived. Let me repeat that. If what you believe in practice doesn't line up with the Word, you're deceived. Wife and I was talking about that this morning. She was watching some program on television this morning about some of these cults and how that they had so deceived this young family. But the things that they were practicing did not line up with the Word of God. So what we believe and what we practice must line up with the Word of God or we're deceived. What I preach and what I teach is to line up with the Word of God. Don't you listen to it? 1 minute, don't you receive it? If it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't care who it is. It must line up with the Word of God. And so, as a serpent, Satan is out to deceive. As a lion, he devours. He's going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He's walking about as a roaring lion, going about as a roaring lion, walking about. Very sly. Very slick. Going around as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He wants to devour your home. He wants to devour this church. And we need to be aware of the tempter. We need to be aware of the devil. And he'll use any means that he can to attack us. He'll use any means that he can to attack Olmsted Baptist Church. He'll do anything he can to weaken us and to weaken our faith and so on. And so he's going to try to flatter you and try to lead you astray. Satan told Eve that she would be like God if she ate of the tree. And you know what happened? She fell for his flattery. Isn't that right? Now notice in our reading in verse 6. But now when Timotheus came from you unto us, and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that you have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us, we as we also to see you. So Paul was encouraged now that he had sent this young preacher to him, and he had returned with this good news. So we see that their faith had stood the test. Their faith had stood the test. The afflictions that they were going through from Satan had not driven them away. Has there been afflictions that would come into your life that would sort of drive you away a little bit? Away from the Lord? I believe those who are saved by God's grace will endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I believe His grace is sufficient in the time of our needs. So we see that when he returned, we see that he had news that they were standing fast, that they were standing firm. They still held him in highest regards. And they esteemed him in love. They loved and they remembered the Apostle Paul. And they were anxious. They were anxious to see him and to fellowship with him. And it's a glorious thing when the people have love for their pastor and their pastor has love for them. And that's the way it should be. And we're going to close on that note. In these Baptist schools, they always teach you to end on a positive note. And so we can't be any more positive than that, could we? And so why don't you all look up there at me? I love you. Every one of you. And you all have manifested that to us too.